Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Woohoo!
We're here. I think we're on the ball.
Definitely on the ball.
How are you this morning, Robert?
Not too bad, amigo. Not too bad.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Good
day off work today, so we can do an early morning podcast. How's things in Dan World?
I've just made myself a coffee with a little bit of honey and some coconut milk, so things are good.
Dude, that's not a coffee.
It is a coffee.
That's a disaster.
You need to try it.
Never.
Put it on your chest.
Never, 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 never. Our Italian friends are turning in their grave at the thought of that. You've been to Italy many times, I can imagine.
Do you know, only twice? And that was both times last year.
Okay. But you've sampled the coffee there.
Yeah.
It's a great coffee, isn't it?
Tremendous, shall we say.
Espresso, €1. Boom. Yeah.
And then you come out feeling like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, and espresso is the default coffee, isn't it? So, ciao bella, un caffè per favore.
Ah, oui, c'est vrai. That's my Italian French. So, what have you been up to, mister?
Watching a bit of rugby.
Oh, me too.
Yes. You watched the Six Nations last weekend?
Yeah.
No, weekend before, wasn't it?
No, it was this weekend. Just gone.
Was it? Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Time really flies. So that means that this weekend... No, there was a pause in between, no?
There was like a six-month pause due to COVID.
Well, obviously, yes. But, no, man, it wasn't that last weekend. It wasn't this weekend that's just gone. It was 2 weekends ago.
It was not. I was watching it this weekend. I thought I was the dull one, yeah?
I was sure of it. So and that means that there's no rugby this weekend then?
No, there is.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right.
So Wales-France was just a friendly, which there's never a friendly. And we started very well. We scored a try. Hey, we're looking good. And then that was that.
Yeah. Did you see Ireland-Italy?
Yeah. I watched most of it, but not all of it. It was a bit too easy, I think, for Ireland.
It was a little bit easy, yeah. That was a good game, nevertheless.
Yeah, so you're
talking. It's really weird watching it without any audience.
Yeah,
they've got the fake audience playing in the background.
Oh, they just need to bin that, I think.
Oh, I think they need it.
It's faker than Roland Rat, though, isn't it?
It is. Are they playing that in the stadium, do you think, for them?
I don't know. That'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
I guess it would be, yeah. But
yeah, you never know. Mm. As long as they can hear the ref, I suppose it's fine.
If they can hear the ref over the real crowd, then I think...
Imagine that's your job. You've got to press the audio at certain times and then you push the wrong button. They score a try when they haven't scored a try. Hey! And the crowd go wild.
I did notice whoever was controlling that audio system, it was a bit delayed. When you got the try, it was like paused and then...
I don't know. It is what it is right now.
To be fair, it's better than nothing, like we said.
Yeah.
So this weekend is the final weekend then, is it?
Yeah. Your boys, the Irish.
Exactly.
We're up on top of the league. So they...
But
England have got
Italy. They'll be doing well to win though, no?
Yeah. England have got Italy. So there could be a bonus point or two on the cards there. So
exactly. That's the problem, yeah.
So I think you need to be looking for a bonus point against France, which isn't easy.
Which is,
depending which France turn up.
This is very true.
Yeah,
to be fair now, Italy could turn up as well.
Well, you never know. They just haven't hit the heights for a while. But yeah, on the day, Italy can mix it, I guess.
Yeah, so last weekend, Formula One was on first and then the rugby was on afterwards.
It's a good weekend then.
I was watching the Formula One, obviously, because I am a massive Formula One fan.
Hamilton.
And Hamilton, yeah, he overtook Schumacher's world record amount of wins.
Am I right in 96?
92, I thought it was.
How was it? I just plucked out 90-something from the air. Took a guess.
Yeah.
I had 9 options to go with in the 90s and I got the wrong one.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible what he's done.
Yeah, to win anything.
I mean, when Schumacher made that record, like nobody thought that you'd be able to overtake him. And it's happened. And Hamilton's got plenty more races to go.
I was going to say, how old is he?
He's 34 or 35 or something like that.
Yeah.
Similar age to me. So, yeah, no, it's truly incredible what he's managed to do.
No, fair play to him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dedication in it. And even though I'm not the biggest Formula One fan in the world, because isn't it the best engineers win You're gonna slap me now, aren't you?
It's. I mean,
the ones with the most money and the best engineers.
You are correct. I mean, obviously, you need a good car. They have a very good car.
Yeah.
But don't forget, he's got a teammate who is in equal machinery.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely nowhere near him.
Gotcha.
And he has to be so consistent.
Mm. Is it kind of like the Tour de France, where your teammate is there to back you up more than take over you?
Unofficially, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, some teams name their number one driver.
Yeah.
And then the number two driver plays a sort of supporting role, but it just depends on how the season goes for them. I mean, if number two driver is out driving number one and there's a real chance of him winning the championship, then number one driver isn't going to be, you know, he's not going to be in number one position.
Yeah.
He'll be told to get out the way and let number two go by.
Yeah.
It has happened many times in the past.
Gotcha.
Team orders like that was once upon a time illegal, but now it's legal again.
Something similar happened with Geraint Thomas, wasn't it? With
Chris Froome.
Yeah. Were they Sky or were they team in Neos then?
Probably Sky.
He was always the second fiddle. And then I think the one race, they said, both of you go for it. And whoever's near the top after a few stages, then the other one will back the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it should be, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because imagine you know how good you are. You know you can beat him, but you're not allowed to beat him.
Exactly. That would be so frustrating. And it's frustrating for them.
Yeah, it's got to be. I know it's a team sport, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately. I mean, for me, personally, that would give me so much drive and motivation.
Yeah.
I always love being told I can't do something.
Yeah. You can't do that.
That's the dream scenario for me, because I just go crazy with motivation then.
Yeah, I like the vibe of people thinking I can't do anything, and then you just like rock up. Boom. And there you go. Yeah,
I love it.
But anyway, new iPhone.
Oh yes, the 12. Did you get it already?
No, my contract's up, but obviously funds are not the greatest this year, are they? Nobody wanting to get married. I've picked up a few little small weddings lately.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, which is good. But yeah, I shouldn't, but I probably will hold out for the Max, which is due out in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Indeed. I'm doing exactly the same.
And
I'm the same train of thought as you as well. It's, you know, we have to be a little bit responsible with money at the moment.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we just don't know what the hell is going to happen.
No.
And shelling out a grand for an electronic device, which you could well live without, is a little bit irresponsible.
Yeah.
But it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I know. I have the 10 Mac. Is it the 10? What, I don't know. 10 Max, whatever.
Yeah, the X. Yeah.
10X. Well,
they call it the 10. Yeah, but X.
And it's all paid for. So I'm just on like whatever I spend kind of basis now. So technically, I shouldn't.
Yes.
But it is very tempting.
Have you held one in the hand yet?
No, because I've got little mitts.
That's kind of what I'm afraid of, you know. Nikki, my wife, she has the 12. Yeah, the 12 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Max. In gold.
Yep.
And nice. I thought it would be a little bit gangster and a little bit tacky.
Yeah.
But I had it in the hand and it's absolutely beautiful. It's a stunning piece of engineering. Just the way the glass meets the stainless steel frame.
Right.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But when I'm holding it, I'm just thinking, oh dear, if I drop that, it's destroyed. You know what I mean? It's so beautiful that you just don't want to drop it.
Isn't it like four times more bounce proof, is it, or whatever they call it?
That's what glass. They're saying, Dan, but I'm reading loads of reports now people are dropping them and they're shattering.
Oh great.
And not only that, the lens of the camera is shattering. That scares me a little bit, I must say.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, just don't drop it.
That's the thing. I remember all these years ago when I was an engineer on the railway, I had a new iPhone and I'd keep it in a case. Then I'd take the box to work and I'd keep it in the box. And then one day I opened the van door, the box fell out, opened, came out of the case and just smashed on the floor.
No, I was
just
like, way.
So you put in all that effort to look after something and then it breaks anyway. So
yeah,
my philosophy now is... just go with the flow, you know?
Just go with the flow, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was looking at insurance as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 300, for me, 300 francs a year for the insurance, right?
Yes.
But a new screen costs 300 francs.
What's the
so
point?
So you'd have to break your screen twice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But anyways, about the size of your hands, you were saying the 12 Pro is a really nice size already.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that the Max is going to be too big now.
Yeah. So what's my old one? I think that's about 6.
You've got the X, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the same size as the 12 Pro now.
Right. So yeah, when I bought that, I was I took it back because I was like, oh, I've only got little paws. I'm renowned for my, you know, did he high five me or did he not? Kind of little hands. And yeah, so I took it back initially, but then I've got my own little way of holding my phone, and it's usually with two hands I use it anyway.
Yeah.
Because even if I had a smaller version, my hands are that small. Yeah, I think it'll be fine, you know, but
yeah.
I may go and test it in like the Apple store. There's one in town with me.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but that would mean you'd have to wait for it to arrive in the Apple store for you to see it.
That's the trouble, yeah.
I might do the same. I might wait until it comes in and just have a quick look at it first.
Yeah.
There's something which I recommend, by the way, that you should buy.
What's that, mate?
I've just bought a new charger for my Mac and for the phones and all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's from Basis. It's a Chinese company.
Mm.
It was once upon a time a Kickstarter.
Gotcha.
And they released a 120 watts mini quick charger. Oh, which has got two USB-C outputs and a USB-A output.
Yeah.
And it's half the size of the one that's delivered with the MacBook Pros.
Oh, geez.
And it's 120 watts, so it's really fast charging as well.
Can you send me a link, please?
I'll send you a link, yeah. It's the new gallium nitride GaN transistor thing, blah, 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 blah. And they use those.
What?
They're really efficient, really small, and that's why you can have like half the size for, you know, twice the power.
Yeah.
It's not twice the power, but the one that's delivered with the Mac, I think, is 98 watts.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'll have to have a look.
But it's half the size, and it's fantastic. It's got two USB-C outputs. It's brilliant.
That's handy, yeah.
I'd really highly recommend it. It's only about £100.
How much?
£100.
Well, I don't work anymore.
Well, how much is a Mac one?
I don't know.
It's about the same price for a single output, less power.
Yeah, no, send it over. I'll have a look.
I will. Yeah, so if you get that and get yourself from the same company a USB-C, USB-C cable, 100 watts, then you can do fast charging on your laptop as well.
Sweet.
Get it, my man.
Send it over.
Just reminded me there because the box is sitting on my desk.
There we are. I'll have a look at that, Rob. You're very good at these things.
Ah, yes.
Mm. What about the new wallet that sits on the back?
Oh, man, that's an absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. I was reading reviews about that as well, and you know, when you put it in and out of your pocket,
yeah,
it kind of pushes it to the side and it comes off and it pops off, and it's an absolute disaster.
That's a shame, because initially I looked at that and went, ooh, you know,
yeah, the magnet isn't strong enough there.
That's a shame.
Speaking of wallets, I'm a very big fan of minimalist wallets.
Yeah,
I don't carry change or at all. I carry mainly cards and a little bit of cash every now and again.
Yeah.
Friday River. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
It's a company which does very minimalist wallets, leather. It's a single piece of leather folded, and then it's bound with twine.
Nice.
At the seams. Just four bits of twine. And they would literally last a lifetime because it's just one piece of leather. If the twine was to go, you could just replace the twine. But they age so well. Highly recommend.
What was it again, the name?
Friday and River. Let me just get it up here.
Who sang Cry Me a River?
Justin T.
That's it, mate.
Right. I'm going to pop you over this link on your WhatsApp. There you go.
Sweet.
And have a look at the McGraw wallet, brown.
McGraw, yeah, that's nice, man.
Click inside and you'll see it's just one piece of leather.
Oh, yeah. Clever, isn't it? That is minimalistic.
It is. Yeah. And, oh, man, it's absolutely beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful wallet.
Yeah, it does look it. So any other news in the world? What else?
Any other news? No, like I said, I've got a day off today. I was recording a bit of music this morning.
I did see on your Facebook.
Indeed, yeah. One of the rare occasions where I posted something to my Facebook. Sweet.
Well done. So when are you going to be a rock star?
I wouldn't mind getting the band together first, and then we'll see what happens.
Am I in it, by the way?
What is your role in this band?
The triangle.
Because the triangle in a rock band is quite common.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, if you're Rush or Dream Theater, I guess.
You don't want to be the same as everyone else, Rob, do you?
This is very true. Yeah.
we could be called the triangles then. You
rock
know?
And roll. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm a singer, and I'm Welsh.
That's true, actually. You are a good singer. But are you a rock singer?
Hell yeah. I was actually listening to the NHS in Wales singing.
Another classic rock band there, Dan.
Yeah, all the nurses and doctors. Yeah, I was listening to them. And yeah, the Welsh can sing, dude.
That is an absolute fact. The Welsh can sing. And I genuinely wouldn't mind hearing you sing properly.
Well, you sort it out. I've got a microphone now. You twist and shake it to make me sound good.
Yeah, I'll send you a backing track and you can drop some lines for me.
Tell me more when I come home. The girls won't leave. The boys are alone.
That's not Irish. Rock, Dan. Rock, rock.
I can't think.
No, it's absolutely amazing. Sometimes I have Ilaria in here with me when I'm playing. And oh my God, the noises she makes when I'm playing is absolutely amazing.
Does she sing along?
She does. Like, she screams and sings along. She's absolutely fantastic. I mean, that makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Proud dad moment.
Yeah, I just means like, you know, I can do my thing in here with her and I know she's enjoying it.
Ah, sweet man.
Yeah, aside from that, I'm on a break from training. I have been for the last almost 2 weeks now.
Really?
So absolutely zero training.
Injury or?
No, it's end of season. So, I mean, you know it. You played professional sport. You know exactly what it's all about. Your body needs time to recover. And this is exactly what I'm doing right now. And it's so weird, man.
Yeah.
For a year and a half now, I've been training 12, 14 hours a week. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of going, I've got a little bit of time on my hands.
Nice, man.
What will I do? I think I'll record some guitar, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do the things that you really, you know, as I say, you haven't had time to do.
Exactly, yeah. Do a bit of podcasting, a bit of guitar, bit of photography, of course.
Yeah.
That's about it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to do a few little weddings now and pick up, I might have six in December if it all goes to plan. So
I was just going to say, things have changed now quite dramatically, right?
I think people's mindsets is still 15 guests or only 15 guests, but people are like, you know, I won't be there for the whole day like I was. But some people are switching and maybe having a party later on in the year or next year or 2029 or something.
So is November for you guys pretty much a write-off? There's nothing going to happen in November.
I do have one wedding in November. But again, that's a few hours. So ideally, I'd love to go and travel and do some street photography.
It's just not possible.
Non possible.
It is pure madness. Can we just rewind 50 years and... No, not 50 years.
50? Jeez. I was a little spermazoid.
Can we fast forward 50 years? See what happens there.
I've got it. With all this technology, dude, I can't imagine what it'll be like in 50 years.
I know. Imagine.
And you're in the know even more with your microchips.
Microchips.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, that business isn't indefinite either, unfortunately.
No. And I did manage to have a look at your website you designed for your own company yesterday, Rob.
Ah, did you?
You're a man of many talents.
Ah, sure, you know. If I'm given enough money to do something, I'll try my best.
It'll smash it.
Yeah, no, we had a really outdated website for a long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're quite specialized, our company, but we're not a huge company. Mm. We don't make huge amounts of money either.
Yeah.
So we try, I mean, we're all engineers, we're all technical minded. So anything we can do internally ourselves, we do tend to try and do that.
Makes sense.
And I had a little bit of time available once upon a time. I had a project which finished and before the next one started, I had a bit of time. So it was asked of me to commission a new website. And yeah, I mean, it's a massive difference, man. When you know, like if you do something for a hobby and you're doing your work on the side, you find very little time to invest. But if it's your job and you can work on it 8-9 hours a day without any problems and know that you get paid for it, you'll invest so much time and you can do such a great job.
Of course. You're out to impress as well, aren't you?
Exactly. You're out to impress and you're motivated. And And don't get me wrong, I'm not coding here or anything like that. It was purely WordPress based, so it's
yeah, sweet. Well done.
It's not so complex, if I'm honest with you. But yeah, no, I enjoy doing it. I really enjoy doing it. But you know, to do that as a living, I couldn't see myself doing that. But yeah, you know, as a once off like that, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's good you've got the skills you can do that, especially to benefit you and put your profile up there within your company. One day you'll be the owner, Rob.
Woohoo, wouldn't that be nice? What's your take on purchasable presets, Dan?
For photography, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Man, it totally depends, you know.
Have you seen these presets from Develop? Or yes. Develop, whatever you call them.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of, shall we say, science behind it.
Yeah.
So they, like, Jeff Newsom started this company.
Yes.
So, and I actually went on a Jeff Newsom workshop in Berlin, wow,
ooh,
5 years ago.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
Oh, yeah. Really good. Really, really, really good. He's an outside-the-box thinker, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a really good guy as well.
Oh, lovely. I really like his style of photography.
But I'm not sure if he worked for Adobe at some stage or something.
And right.
That's
okay.
How he knows all this, you know, the method behind the madness, creating presets.
Yeah, because they're making different profiles, aren't they?
Yeah.
Camera profiles, you know, like your Adobe Standard, Adobe Portrait, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're doing their version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does sound very, you know, clever and everything he's done. And he obviously knows what he's doing. If it wasn't for some, like, it took me so long to find my style of edit. I knew what I wanted, but to get there was mission impossible already. But
yes, yes.
The last couple of years, I found something that I'm happy with, you know?
Yeah.
So if I hadn't been, and if this has been out about 3, 4, 5 years ago, then yeah, I'd have been all over it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, there's nothing wrong with evolving your style. I mean,
No. I think
you can try new things, and if work, great. If not, then yeah.
Yeah, and over each year, I probably have like tweaked something, then tweaked something else, then tweaked something else, and it is evolving. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never stop doing that. I'm gonna download some of their stuff. I'm planning on downloading some of their stuff.
Yeah,
not to take the particular photographer's looks. You know what I mean? Their styles, how they have different, you know, actual presets.
Yeah.
But what I'm interested in is this base color profile.
Mm.
Yeah, it's something I actually did myself a few years ago with the Color Checker Passport.
Yeah.
I created my own color profile for the D750 with different lighting conditions.
Mm.
I was just really curious how it affected specific tones, like skin tones and so on.
Mm.
It sounds really interesting. It sounds really, really interesting. Yeah, no, and did you see Sam Hurd released a new one, or is about to release a new one, where he's gone even further and he's actually delved into the mathematics at the pixel level of these color profiles?
No, I didn't. But
he's done something new. I think it's called Signal Flow.
All right, man. These people are too clever.
It's worth having a quick look and see.
I'll have a look.
Because he's another clever little sausage.
Yeah, a nice guy as well. I've met Sam as well.
He was at Nine Dots, wasn't he?
No, he's supposed to be there this year.
No, he's been... Okay, maybe.
I think he might have been on the first one then, because I didn't
know.
Yeah,
he was definitely at Nine Dots. I know that for sure.
Yeah, and perhaps he was on the first one then. But he was down to be talking this year. And yeah, I equally did a Sam Hurd workshop probably around the same time. And I know him and Jeff are good friends. And
oh, fantastic. Yeah, you're a little workshop whore, aren't you?
Well, I used to be, and this is how you learn, isn't it?
Yeah, how was Sam's workshop?
We went to Tesco's. I took him to Tesco's and we bought a big slab of beers.
You're joking.
Yeah, it was a 2-day workshop on the photography farm. So down near Heathrow.
Okay.
So you crash overnight. Yeah, it was good fun. They had a hot tub. Say no more. Yeah, I had wrinkly hands when I came out of the hot tub. I was in there so long.
Ah, fair play. Did you take away anything from the workshop that you'd like to share?
He's a very genuine, nice guy. Like, Jeff and Sam, I always found were like more portrait orientated, if you know what I mean, more than capturing moments, documentary side of things. So they think outside the box, and that kind of thing always stuck with me, really. So thinking outside the box and, you know, trying to look for things which aren't visible to the the normal eye, really.
Yeah.
And yeah, and don't be afraid to try things. And that's, you know, I've gone with that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Have a crack. I've said to the couples in the past, we're going to do this. If it never sees the light of day, you know, it was rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
But, and then equally, you get the flip side. You just think, oh, geez, this worked.
That was kind of cool.
But genuinely nice guy. Because at the time, I was like, oh, your images look so sharp. Because you're using the, like, I think he was on the D750s at the time. And I said, what do you sharpen your images with? And he just said, open your laptop. And he airdropped me his sharpening preset, just like that.
Ah, fair play to him.
So he's a good guy. He's a really nice guy, to be fair.
Fair play.
And man, he's caned it. He's smashing the knowledge base workshop, online workshop. And
yeah, I think he's done an absolutely Patreon. Fantastic job there.
Yeah, no, fair play. And you couldn't, you're like, because he's a generally nice guy, you're like, good luck to anyone like that, you know?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's a real entrepreneur.
Yeah,
oh,
totally.
He's absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
Serene, he's another guy who just baffles me with all the stuff, the jargon, like you.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? Speak my language. Yeah, but I'm a doer. I need to do things. I can't just speak and read things. I need to physically do it and then go, ah, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
And then I've always been pretty good with common sense. It's like, if that don't work, I just don't do it again, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Common sense is underestimated, Danny boy.
Oh, man, I think governments seriously lack it.
it's really true. And I also see it in you know, professional life as well.
And yeah, I did as an engineer for Network Rail. It's just like some of the people... See, my way of fixing problems was the last time, or the last time before that, or the last time before that, it was this, where all these guys were going to get all their prints and look at all the science behind it. I'd have already gone and fixed it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can explain to me later what you were trying to get at, but I was chatting to one of my mates yesterday who was, how can you say it in nice terms nowadays? It wasn't very academically gifted. Is that a PC?
Yes. That's one very polite way of putting it, yes.
Back in the day, it would have had a different term.
Exactly, yeah.
But I was chatting to them yesterday, and he's building his own house. He's a builder, building his own house, building another 9 on plot of land that he owns. Many a man, he's laughing at me now, you know?
It's exactly what I said earlier, Dan. Yeah. You know, he was probably told once upon a time, you can't.
Yeah.
And that he took and he just turned it into a big FU and boom.
Totally. Like, and that's the thing. It's like the things you taught in school aren't always relevant to life, you know?
Totally agree with that, man. I mean, in school, I was a complete messer. You know, me and my mates, we just had the best crack. And honestly, I know everybody says it, but literally the best time of our life, you know?
Yeah.
We were just laughing our heads off like 8 hours a day, every day.
Yeah.
Totally. And you know what I mean? I actually missed on a lot of fundamental learning because of that. It was only later in school before getting the exams and all of that where I said, okay, I got to put my head down now. Mm. But up until then, it was just pure crack. And my teachers were just constantly saying to me, you're going to go nowhere. You're going to go nowhere. You're not going to go to college. You're not going to do this. And that was gold for me, you know, before the exams. It was like, there you go.
I know.
What was that you kept saying to me?
Exactly that, I know. I remember our English teacher betted us all £5 that we wouldn't pass GCSE English. And I managed to get a C. So he gave me a fiver and he paid it.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. That's rich. I was rich. £5.
Yeah. That was the thing with me as well. I kind of knew where I had to put my head down and be serious.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew where I could, you know, act the prat a little bit.
Yeah. But man, I think you're one of those guys who just, you're just a sponge, I think.
Dan, you're way too nice to me, brother. I'm not used to my mates being nice to me. It's usually abuse that I get. But it's like you. I mean, I don't just learn stuff just like that. I have to do it as well, you know?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about your SEO quest.
A lot of it's bullshit and a lot of it's time which could be spent elsewhere. That's my take on it first.
Yeah.
The small weddings I've booked now this last few weeks have all been through wedding planners, wedding venues, and people. So that is still the best, making friends in the industry. Like,
yeah, word of mouth.
100%. even though I'm, you know, number one for Cotswolds wedding photographer now, it doesn't make any difference. You still get the same amount of people asking, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's a big waste of time in a way, but equally could be future-proofing as well.
Ooh, if you keep on top of it, yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is keeping on top of it. So that I've just put in a lot of work this year, but then...
How many hours have you put in this year in SEO?
Way too many, I guess, than what it's been worth.
Give me a rough estimate.
When I haven't got Sid and I haven't got weddings to edit, I've probably been doing like at least an hour a day, sometimes two, which on the grand scheme of things, when I haven't got much work to do, isn't a lot. But you check that into a full-time summer with weddings, yeah, it's just not
what
possible.
Does that hour entail? What are you doing for that hour?
It could be anything like submitting to blogs, signing up for citations, looking what your competitors are doing with like the Moz bar and what backlinks they've got. And then you can try and get them, if you know what right. I mean. So all that
what, you kind of, really. Rob backlinks from competitors?
You don't... you can see with the Moz bar, you can see what your competitors, what backlinks they've got. So you don't rob them off them. They still get them. But then you can go, oh, I'd never even heard of that blog, or I've never even heard of thing to get listed on. And then you can list on that. And then you're catching up with your competitors in a way and taking over.
I see what you mean. So it's not so much you doing stuff to your own website and your content and so on.
There is that, and I have done bits of content because some of it is relevant and some of it is irrelevant, but you can equally spend too much time on that as well. Yeah. Some of it is content, and to get ranking on like a new blog post, I reckon content now is a big thing if you've got a lot of content, like cornerstone content, they call it.
So is that text or is it image? Text, it needs to be text, but, right? So if you've got a wedding photography blog, which is predominantly photos, then you're penalized for that.
Yes, you can put too many in there. Yes. And equally, some of the blog posts and the people I've been, say I do a wedding, say I'm aiming for, I do a landing page for the Cotswolds, right? And this is what I've seen off other people. They will write everything about the Cotswolds first, the Cotswold stone, the Cotswold hills, steeped in history, the Cotswolds. This is what happens in the Cotswolds. In the first paragraph, before they even touch on wedding photography, you know? And supposedly, and you can see these are ranking higher because of it. So Google are looking at that kind of stuff before, you know, before I go, oh, Mary and John got married in, and I took the photograph.
I see what you mean. But that's a little bit, that's gold, that information, what you've just shared there, right?
Yeah. That's what you need to look at.
And the irony of it is, you know, you're sharing how you're doing this. Trying to be top of a region or top of wherever, any search engine, and you give all of this information and your competitors just go, yunk, I'll take that, yes.
copy and paste and add a bit more.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah. So anyway, Robert, we have a guest today, don't we, young man?
We do indeed. As every other podcast, surprisingly, we have a guest.
Actually, this person has its own podcast with another gentleman, and they don't do guests. So they just waffle on like we are doing now.
Okay. I'd say they waffle with a little bit more direction.
They've been waffling a lot longer than us, actually. I think they're on almost 100 episodes.
Oh, wow. That's quite significant, yeah.
So, yeah.
I think our waffle is getting a little bit better, though.
Every day I'm waffling. Yeah, I guess so, Rob. I guess so. We waffle with intent sometimes, right?
Indeed.
Exactly. So yeah, today's guest has his own podcast called The Snappin' In Podcast.
Right.
For wedding photographers. So yeah, and his name is...
Thomas Stewart.
All the way from G'day, mate. Put another shrimp on the barbie.
He'll love you if you say that to him.
Australia.
He'll absolutely love you if you
say that. Have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
Of course.
When the lady pulls up in the car. Oh, he's in the car, and the lady said, he says, where are you from? She's like, Austria. He goes, put another shrimp on the barbie. Classic.
Oh, genuinely, I don't remember that. I'm going to have to watch that again.
Yeah, that's classic.
I just remember that John Denver's full of shit, man.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So should we welcome on our guest?
Sure, yeah. Get him on.
Hey.
Welcome to the Wedding Street Podcast. Seeking the stillness amongst the chaos.
Hey.
Good morning.
Massive welcome to Tom Stewart. How are you getting on?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. I'm very well on a cool autumn afternoon in Australia.
G'day, mate.
What does cool?
not bad. I've always wanted to say that.
What does cool mean in Australia?
Yeah. Look, it's a vicious. It's probably about 16 degrees Celsius.
Oh wow. Wow,
that's the height of summer in the UK,
mate. We are just fireplaces on.
That 14 degrees is when we start putting shorts and t-shirt on.
Whereabouts are you exactly?
I am approximately 1 hour south of Sydney. So that's, if you're not sort of familiar too much with the geography, southeast coast of Australia.
Yeah, I am very familiar. I've just done two Christmases, one after the other, in Australia.
Oh, in Australia?
Yeah.
So, what? He's the Australian Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He's only just started.
How did that come? Where were you?
I mean, we did the coast from Melbourne all the way up to Sydney.
Oh, wow.
You know, we did then Hamilton Island, the Whitsundays, all of that sort of stuff. The first Christmas we were out there, we did a 6-week trip just to visit Australia. Actually going to a friend's wedding originally, but that got cancelled. And they then had the wedding this year. So we went back for that.
You're an honorary Aussie.
Exactly, yeah. It was fantastic. I mean, obviously, apart from the bushfires this summer, but yeah.
So you're in Barrel now, are you, Tom?
Yeah, that's right, mate.
So you were in Wollongong when I was over.
Yeah, so we sort of go here and there. It sounds more special than it is, but we have a few different houses because my wife is a property developer.
Awesome.
And so we have a house in Wollongong, which is where we live part of the time. And then we have a house in Barrel, which is on Airbnb when we're not living there. But in winter, it's usually not booked as much. And so we kind of stay there because there's a fireplace. And yeah, it's nice.
That's a win-win situation, world, isn't
right?
it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say, what did you say? Wollongong?
Wollongong.
Wollongong. Yeah, there's another one that springs to mind is the Woolloomooloo or something like that.
Woolloomooloo. these Australian place names.
Yeah. Crazy. I've been to Mooloolaba as well.
Mooloolaba. Have you been to Wagga Wagga?
No.
No, I didn't go to there. I've been to some crazy places. I've been to Swansea in Australia, which we have one in Wales as well.
Yeah. Is that where you're from, Swansea in Wales?
I'm about half an hour either side of Bridgend is Swansea one way, Cardiff the other. So, yeah. Wales is only a little.
It's a beautiful part of the world, Wales.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You've been, have you?
Yeah, I've actually had the fortune to shoot two weddings there in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's curious. They chose a wedding photographer all the way from Australia rather than choosing Dan Morris, who was on their doorstep, huh?
I'm rubbish.
It's a funny thing. I think it was more like me forcing myself upon them, saying, you know, please, I want to travel, please.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit of that, Tom, because obviously you've come over for, was it how many months? 4 months last year?
It was 5 months last year. And before that, it was 3 months. And then the idea is to do 6 months every year. So to literally split the year and basically summer in Oz and summer in Europe, UK. And yeah, so I was born in Northampton and I've been in Australia since I was 8 months old. But yeah, having that British passport is just so awesome. Yeah. So in Australia, there are lots of weddings over winter. Like our winter is not very cold and you can absolutely have weddings the whole way through, but there aren't as many. And my wife and I just adore traveling, as I'm guessing you guys do too.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So yeah, we've tried to pretty much craft this life for ourselves where we pack in as many weddings in Australia and New Zealand over summer here. And then the plan is to head to the UK approximately May every year and then come back to Oz at the end of October every year.
Living the dream.
Absolutely, well, living the dream.
I would say it's definitely our dream. Yep. I think it's probably some people's nightmare, but yeah, for us.
No, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that flight, which is the killer for me. It's.
Did you try and sleep, or do you just like, screw that?
Of course, I do try, but I'm not one for sleeping while traveling. I'll get the odd hour or two, you know, but yeah, I find it very difficult to sleep while traveling.
Wake up with a crooked neck.
Yeah.
There's no point even trying. I just resign myself to the fact that I'll be awake the whole time and just back-to-back movies.
Wow.
I just arrive and I'm destroyed.
But surely on your salary, you fly first class, Thomas.
I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah,
I wish, man.
We did the first trip we did business class. We knew we were doing it for a few years. This was the plan. So we spent the time to try and get some good flights, you know, well in advance. But it meant that we could travel business class for slightly above a premium economy seat. So, I mean, that's a really good deal for what you normally get for that sort of journey. And it was absolutely incredible being able to lie down and just that journey was completely different with business class.
How many of you were traveling? Like how many seats did you have to sort of pay for?
Just myself and my wife.
Oh, it's worth doing it, even for the experience. Like I'd love to do it. If I had a chance like that where the cost was not that much more than say a premium economy, oh, absolutely. I'd be like, just totally. Do it, you know?
All over it.
Often we'll stop over somewhere on the way, somewhere in Asia. And I mean, I have a particular love for India. And so I think to myself, the extra cost of a business flight, how long could I survive in India in luxury?
Oh, could you imagine? And it's
like 3 months or, you know, ridiculous.
So there you go. It just doesn't justify it, right? And I remember when we were getting on that flight, it was the A380. And they were saying, okay, we are now loading business and we are now loading first class. And then we are now loading suite class.
Are you serious?
And I was like, sorry, suite class. So I went straight onto Google. Oh my Lord.
Wow.
It's like going into an apartment room. They've got a shower. They've got a double bed, a sofa, an armchair, a wardrobe.
Oh my goodness.
Man, I did not imagine that existed.
Wow. What a dream, man.
How some people live, eh?
Yeah.
So yeah, Thomas.
Tell me.
Or shall I call you Tom?
Whatever you like. Tom's fun.
Tom, there we go.
Without the hate.
What countries have you photographed in Europe then, if you've been over?
Okay, let's see. You're talking weddings?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I've done a bunch in the UK, in England and Ireland and Scotland. I have shot in Italy. I've shot elopements in Iceland and Norway.
Cool.
I've shot 3 weddings in Croatia, one of which was an elopement. That might be all. I'm yet to do some of the big ones like Greece, you know.
Yeah.
Every photographer seems to have a Santorini one here and there, but yeah, I haven't got one of those yet.
You'll get it, I'm sure. Because you're coming back, right?
We were supposed to be back this year, not for weddings, just for travel. But yeah, we should be there in May next year.
Yeah. So, Rob, Tom was good enough somehow, some way to recommend me for a wedding in Bowral, where he lives in Australia.
Ah, right. Okay.
Were you in the UK then, or were you just booked yourself?
I can't. Was it probably middle of the year, right?
Yeah, it was January. So
I think I was here. I think I might have been booked. But the weird thing is, why didn't we hang out?
I know.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Tom.
No,
did I make the right decision?
Yeah, yeah.
Good choice.
I'm washing my hair. Sorry.
I'm cleaning my lenses. Oh, it's
good to feed my cat that day.
That was in Benduli Estate, which I see you're in quite often.
You know how every region has one venue that is just so well known and so well respected?
Yeah.
That's the one for our area. So at peak season, they're doing 4 weddings a week, and they have 2. Wow. Since you were there, they've opened a second venue on the same property.
I did see. It's like more of a barn type structure.
Exactly.
Is it? Yeah, that was after I'd been there. Yeah.
So 8 weddings a week there. Yeah. So they just pump out the weddings. So yeah.
They spoke highly of you.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. The ladies go to the bar.
Oh. The ladies at the bar.
No men.
No men.
The ladies.
well.
And the makeup artist, I forget her name.
Oh, that's really nice. I'm so glad that you were able to do that.
Oh, man, it was an amazing experience. It was a couple called Bryony and Graham. Outdoor ceremony, which doesn't happen often in the UK. Literally, and just, you know, when everybody's on the canapes during the cocktail hour, I was just walking around, as you do, taking pictures of people, chatting to one or two people. And this old lady, probably in her 70s, I'd say, said to me, where are you from? So I was like, Wales. She said, yeah, I know that. I said, South Wales? She said, yeah, I know that. I said, Bridgend? You wouldn't have heard of that. She's like, yep, I thought you were Bridgend. I was like, what? So she's an Australian accent. So I said, how have you heard of Bridgend? Like, nobody's heard of Bridgend. So she says to me, when she was in her 20s, she worked with a couple as teachers in Sydney who were from Bridgend. And they've stayed in contact all this time. She's been over and visited them and vice versa. And she said, yeah, they've got two sons, Howell and Griff. And I was like, no way. Howell's one of my really good friends.
That is nuts.
Yeah, so random, so random.
That is nuts.
So I took a selfie with this lady, me and this lady. I sent it to Howell, my mate in Wales. Obviously, there's a time difference. He just replied, who the effing hell is that? So I said, dude, I'm not saying anything. Just send it to your mum. And he said, I'm literally 5 minutes away from my mum's house. I'm just going to visit. About 10 minutes later, her mum, so he took a picture of his mum just doing a crazy face going, ah!
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, they were working together in their 20s, and stayed in touch
since.
That's
amazing.
Isn't it weird how that happens? And that happens, I've found that happens an unusually often, that kind of thing. So the similar thing happened to me when I was in Positano in Italy, like in September. I was walking through the streets the day before the wedding I was going to shoot there, and just these tiny little cobbled streets down to the water, and I sort of glimpsed these two people coming towards me. And you know, sometimes you kind of get a glimpse and part of you recognizes something in them, the shape of the hair or, I don't know, something the way one of them walks. Yeah, and so I didn't even think logically who it might be and kept on walking towards them. And then they got closer amongst this sea of people and they looked up at me. And then we kind of both just stopped. And it was this couple whose wedding I shot in Canada like 5 years ago. And I hadn't seen them since then. And we don't, like, we get on really well, but we don't, you know how it is when you shoot, you kind of lose touch with them after the wedding. Yeah, and it was them. And they were just randomly traveling there in Italy. So we ended up spending the afternoon at the beach and drinking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was insane.
Just picked up where you left off, basically.
Pretty much.
I'm just on your About Me section on your website. First of all, I love the fact that when you land on your About Me page, you just see your mouth and it's covering what's about to be revealed as you scroll down. I think that's quite clever.
I wonder if that's a good marketing ploy or not. I'm not sure.
I like it. I think it's quite clever.
Awesome.
But what caught my attention is the family photo.
Oh, with my cats.
It's so good.
How funny is it?
That is so good.
Do you know what you're doing in that photo? You're doing a Croatian smile, it's called.
A Croatian smile?
What's that?
I did a wedding over here and the bride and groom asked me. The bride and her sister asked me because the groom was British. She was from Croatia. She said, can we do a picture of my sister of the Croatian smile? And I was like, what is that? And yeah, you've nailed it there. So you've got to look as, how would you describe how you look?
Nonplussed.
Yeah, just.
As cranky as possible.
Yeah, just, it's brilliant. I love it.
It's very good.
You know how in weddings and portraits, there was a big trend for a while, and there still kind of is, to take these photos where the couple look like insanely bored. They're like the most static pose you can possibly think of. Yeah, that's, I think it's pretty funny, and I try to never do that when I'm shooting weddings. But yeah, I thought for that shot, I wanted to, and also I wanted to mix it up. You know, you see those old school like 70s or 80s photos of portraits of a couple and they'll have the couple sitting on a chair, like looking away in the distance with these big fluffy woolly jumpers on. And then they'll have their own faces sort of superimposed in their chest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like the vibe we were going for. But it was really hard to get those cats to stay still.
Man, even your the cat you're holding is playing his part.
Like, let me go.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So is that setting the tone then for your style of photography, Tom? I mean, tell us a little bit more about Tom Stewart, the photographer.
Well, okay. Well, I used to be a lawyer and I hated it. I was a lawyer for 3 years. And so I've been shooting weddings for 10 years now. So I quit my law job on a whim. I hated it and designed this really crappy, I don't know if you ever remember this thing on Mac OS called iWeb.
No.
You could use it to design really very basic websites. So I just designed myself a website and started spamming my friends on Facebook to see if I could pick up any weddings. And I just got a few from friends and people were like, hey, shoot my wedding.
But why did you go from law to photography just like that? Did you...
Not just photography, weddings, straight into wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Why?
So I'd always love to travel. And, you know, as you travel, it's pretty common that you want to take a nice camera and take some photos. And that was me. And then while I was a lawyer, I think it actually started then because my colleagues would pester me to shoot their weddings because they thought that if I could take some nice photos of castles in Europe, then I could take photos at a wedding.
Yeah. Or the best one is you've got a good camera, so therefore oh my God. Yeah. Your photos must be amazing.
Exactly. I think I initially turned them down and then after a while I gave in and I shot one and it was okay. It didn't go badly. And very early on I realized two things that first of all, if you think about what you want to shoot as a photographer, I think it doesn't matter what type of photography you want to shoot, but there's a limited number of things which might inspire you and that you want to shoot. So you've got like, you might want to do landscapes, nice locations. You might want to shoot fashion, so people dressed up nicely. You might want to shoot sport or like fast moving things, whether that's an animal moving quickly or a human. Or you might want to shoot photojournalism, so, you know, emotion and moments that are special to people. And I think I realized really early on that weddings literally have all of that stuff in one day.
Yeah.
And to this day, I still think to myself how incredible it is that in the course of one wedding, like we as wedding photographers have to change the kind of photographer we are depending on what part of the day it is.
Absolutely.
And like, yeah, that's what really early on attracted me to weddings. And honestly, that is actually still what inspires me because, you know, you never know what is around the corner and what is about to happen at a wedding.
Yeah, it's never boring, right? It's a challenge.
Yeah, like you're every type of photographer at a wedding.
You literally are, and you don't know when you have to be which type.
Yeah, that's why, similar to you, I like shooting new venues, you know, because some people will go, oh, have you shot at such and such venue? And then when you say no, they get a little bit deflated. Sometimes 100%. And you're like, hey, don't worry, you know, it's, you know, I go to new venues all the time and it's a challenge, you know. You don't know what the lighting is like, you don't know what, you know, the people, the venue, so it's just a challenge and keeps you on your toes. I think
I've actually got a section in my FAQ on my website that deals with exactly that. It's like, you haven't shut up my venue before, you know, is this a problem? I'm like, no, it's like the best scenario you
can. Exactly. That
first time you shoot somewhere, you're like, I want to smash this.
Yeah.
Do you do any other type of photography? Like you said you took your camera on holiday and stuff like that. Did you do any travel photography, street photography, landscape photography, anything?
No more so than the average traveler would. Like I'm not one of these crazy people who, you know, is up at 4 a.m. to hike to a certain peak just to get the sunrise. Like I love shooting travel, but I also want my trips and my travel to be travel, you know. I want to experience it, and I'm pretty jealous of some of the Instagrammers I see who do that, and they take these incredible landscape photos of, you know, those mind-blowing ones from the top of like a mountain in Norway or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, the travel photos I take are just for me, just to remember. So no, it's just pretty much weddings. That's all I do. Okay. Weddings and maybe couples, portraits of couples. Yeah.
I was the same up until 18 months ago, and then I got into doing street photography from doing quite a few destinations abroad. On my days off, I got in, because I was usually on my own as well. So, you know, if you're traveling with your wife, you have to look after your wife, right?
Exactly.
It's usually the other way around with us. But
So, yeah, I got into it from that, really. So now I don't have a relax now. I need that relaxing holiday, I think.
That's the problem. Like, we took this holiday to Central America probably 8 years ago. And, oh, no, it was more than that. It would have been 10 years ago. And I spent the whole time when we were in the beaches in Latin America, sort of in Belize and Nicaragua and Costa Rica. And I would be up at, like, before sunrise every day trying to get, trying to take my neutral density filters and my tripod and trying to get these sunrises. It's cool photos, but I don't know. I just, my memories of that part of the trip are of me, like, pushing myself to take photos, not just, like, sitting in a hammock and drinking a margarita.
There's nothing worse for me and is a total passion killer. If you have this idea and you want to go and take a photo of some sunset or some skyline or whatever, and there are like 20 other photographers set up taking the exact same photo. For me, it's kind of like, okay, see you later. I don't want it that much.
It's not really a unique moment, is it?
No, it's just totally against what I love about photography.
That's when you head to the bar, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So true.
So how do you keep yourself fit, Tom? Or do you keep right yourself now, fit?
I've seen both of your profile photos and I got to say, I mean, I'm probably the least fit person out of the three of us. But no, Michelle and I, we've been doing heap. We love hiking.
Fantastic.
And we love riding our bikes. So
awesome.
Generally speaking, we each week we'll probably do 2 to 3 hikes, like pretty serious, probably 4 to 6 hour
hikes. That's a decent hike.
Yeah, and then we try and ride. We're not really good riders. We ride on the street. We have a lot of trails around us, so we generally ride, I don't know, 30Ks every couple of days. So that's what we do.
Sounds like you're pretty fit to me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess. You know what I should do? I should be doing more like upper body weights to try and cope with the... I get a bit of back pain after lifting cameras all day.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure that you guys can relate to that to some extent. You know, end of the day, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. How would you carry your cameras?
With a moneymaker.
Hold fast, yeah.
Right.
Is that for convenience, to help, or is that just to look good? Be honest.
Dan's reasoning behind wearing that.
Yeah, I do. I have to admit, have you guys tried the Black Rapid double strap?
Forget it.
Have you tried the Spider, whatever that thing's called?
I have it, the Spider holster.
Okay.
That's what
you currently... Okay. So I found with the Black Rapid, I found my cameras were swinging too much.
Yeah.
The Spider, I found that I dropped them too much.
What, you missed the hook and you...
The first day I got my 1DX, my original 1DX, I went to hook it into the thing and it dropped like a meter onto concrete.
Dude.
Oh, no.
But being a 1DX, the lens snapped off the mount, but the 1DX was absolutely fine.
Oh, my God.
So, I graduated to the moneymakers. And I got to say, for me, they're the most comfortable straps I've used. And they do look really better.
There it is.
If you ever have a Western-themed wedding, then you're going to fit right in.
Literally every wedding, you get a comment on it.
Gunslinging.
Yeah.
They literally say that all the time, don't they?
Yeah. And then later on in the party, when everybody's drunk, more comes out of their mouth.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh, man, I can't believe you missed it.
There's always one guy who comes up to me and is like, love your straps.
It's always a guy though, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
No, man, I can't believe you dropped your camera by missing the hook. Oh, my God. Oh,
my heart broke.
I'm sure some guests saw that happen.
It was during prep and, they were like, and you know how whenever something bad happens, you're just like, I do this all the time.
Yeah, exactly. There's no problem. Inside, you're absolutely crying.
They're built to bounce.
Can I tell you a short story in that respect?
Of course.
About 4 years ago, I was shooting a ceremony at a very well-known, beautiful venue. And the ceremony was almost done. They had their first kiss. They signed their marriage certificate. And they were about to come back up the aisle. Everyone had their confetti ready. And I'm like, this is our time to shine. Burst mode, getting ready. You're making sure you're locking onto the right AF point. I'm there. I'm looking through the viewfinder. They start walking. I'm tracking their faces. I'm like, brr, brr. I'm shooting. Get to probably almost the end of the aisle and my right foot touches something And then I sort of felt myself falling backwards. And then I remembered that there was a fountain there.
Uh-oh.
And I fell completely into the fountain.
Backwards. Wow. Good.
Like 100% submerged. My entire body was in the fountain. I managed to hold one of the cameras up in the air, but the other one went in the water.
Dude.
Yeah, man. And so I realized I could have had to calm myself down. I was like, okay, I'm in the water. All the guests were like, it was dead silent. And the couple stopped. They had this look on their face, like utter just shock and like, what have you done? And so I got up out of the water and I'm like, it's cool. It's cool, guys. I'm okay. And the camera that had fallen in the water was taking photos by itself. It was like, I had to take the battery out to stop it from.
Oh my God.
So I was like, it's okay. No worries. I put the camera away. I was like, oh, good, guys. Cameras are waterproof. I'm fine. Let's just keep going. And inside my heart is like hammering.
I can imagine.
Slowly, things recommenced. The couple kept on walking and they kind of asked me if I was okay. I was like, yeah, I'm a professional. I'm dying inside, but, you know, I'm
shooting like, on Teemo.
Dude, that's amazing.
And everything was okay. My wife brought me a change of clothes and I took the memory card out from the what camera. Of course, it was fine. Those memory cards are...
That's the main thing, yeah.
Yeah. And that camera died and that lens died, but, you know, it's all insured. It was just my pride. And then by the reception, it was really cool. Like the guests must have seen that I was like, okay, and I was laughing about it. And all these guests were coming out to me and being like, so, bit wet today, eh, mate?
That's brilliant. Awesome. You know, dude, it's the cardinal sin at weddings to take away attention from the bride. And you 100%. Did that in absolute fashion.
Please tell me he was caught on camera as well.
He was most Instagram storied person at that wedding, without a doubt.
This is the ironic thing. So I don't know if you guys know, but about 5 years ago, I went really viral for a post about people not using their cell phones at weddings. So I put up this rant on Facebook about how...
That was you.
I was just going to say, yeah, I think I know. Yeah, yeah. Was it somebody with an iPad or something?
Yeah, yeah. The bride's mum or something. Yep.
Yes, that was you. Hey, nice to meet you.
That was me. Nice to meet you. So at this wedding, no one had their phones out because of my Facebook post that went viral. And so no one filmed it.
No way.
Oh, man.
That's crazy, fantastic. Right? That is
I would have
fantastic.
Loved to have seen it.
Damn. So how did that go down? Tell us a little bit more about that.
How I fell in?
No, we don't care about that anymore.
It's old news.
We want to hear more about your rant.
Oh, well, I just happened to have this wedding where I was setting up to shoot the bride coming down the aisle and my wife was there. She was second shooting for me. And I was shooting the bride coming down the aisle and my wife was shooting the groom's face. So the shot in question, I didn't actually take. My wife took it, but she took it under my, you know, business name. So I claim it. So yeah, I only realized it was happening when I downloaded the photos and I saw these photos that Michelle had taken of this groom and he could barely see the bride coming down the aisle. Yeah, because the bride's mum was leaning out so far into the aisle with an iPad. And I don't know. I didn't even mean to write something so viral inducing. I just wanted to write a bit of a rant about how could everyone just put their shit away. And I wrote three paragraphs. And like, I used to be a lawyer, so I don't know. I can definitely structure, you know, a nice argument. So I wrote this.
Don't mess with Tom Stewart.
I wrote this few paragraphs about this is why I think you guys shouldn't use your cell phones at weddings. This is the result. Check this photo out. Just in future, here's the reasons why you don't need to take your phone out. Just leave it to the professional. And that's it. I just, a few paragraphs with the photo. I clicked post on Facebook on my business page. And then I went out to dinner with my friends. And then I got home after dinner, like 3 hours later. And I opened up Facebook and it had been shared like 20,000 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like, what the? No idea what was going on. And then I was like, oh, I see what's happening. Every time I reloaded the page, it had like 5,000 more shares.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It got to like 26 million views or something. And then it went so crazy. After a few months, I was getting phone calls to be on like radio stations. And then I remember one night I was sitting at home watching a movie with Michelle and this phone call, and it was this guy from an Irish radio station wanted me to come on. And I was like, really, man, it's Friday night. So I deleted the post.
You've done enough. I'm over this.
I'm so sick of it.
Man, that's insane. I mean, that's a serious claim to fame, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
So what's your take on it a few years later now? What's your take on it? Because obviously it's still a thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I've relaxed a little bit. I think when it all happened, I was still in the part of my career where I took everything as an affront to me and I wanted to really prove myself and anything that gets in my way is, you know, impeding my ability to do my job.
Like your wife being a videographer, for example.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Yeah, this is my shot.
But now I'm just like, it's annoying, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
If people say to me, should we have an unplugged wedding? I definitely say, I think you should. But if they choose not to, man, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah, similar. I always say, look, it's your choice, but you as my for and against kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Only once I've had something similar when the bride and groom are coming back down the aisle and this guy about halfway down just stood right in front of me with his iPad in the middle of the aisle. So I had to run down about 20 yards and just tap him on the shoulder and say, dude, and he just didn't realize in his defense, you know, he was like, oh, sorry, so sorry, so sorry. So we didn't come to blows, not like you.
Yeah, when he took one look at you, Dan, he knew he didn't stand a chance.
Like, not messing with that guy.
Not if he's got a nose like that.
And he's from Wales.
Crazy Welshman.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, no, Dan did a 24-hour fast for some bizarre reason yesterday.
Whoa. Have you had breakfast yet, Dan?
No, I had a black coffee this morning. That's all I've had.
Is it a fitness-related fast?
I have no idea. Yes. It's just something to do because of craziness, boredom, really.
So, my wife does fasting. So yeah.
Is she all right?
She does 16 hours. So she makes
16-8, is it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I've been looking into it. It's just something to just test my brain again, just for a couple of weeks, something different. So yeah, I've looked into like the health benefits of things. And it's not for that. It's just more of a challenge. But if it does have benefits, then cool, you know?
I just couldn't do it. That first coffee in the morning.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's just sweet. How do you guys know each other?
Dating website.
Grindr.
Grindr.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the most hunky chunky almond on Grindr. So I was like, I want a bit of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we met in have you heard of Nine Dots?
My friend Anna, her business.
Luna. We know
She's
Anna.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's ace.
Is it Roland? Anna Roland?
Yeah, that's it.
Luna.
Luna Photography. Yeah,
She's
part of Nine Dots, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she actually took the photos last year of the 4 days. Anna's ace.
Is Nine Dots exactly?
It's a piss up. I mean, it's a wedding photographers conference.
So it's like every year, once a year.
Every year, I think it's 4 days. It's obviously wedding photographers, talks, and you know, inspiration and like networking. So I think it's great. It's community feel. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what it is about the Australian wedding industry, but I don't go to any of those things here because I find that they very quickly become almost like an ego fest where it's like, I'm cooler than you. It's horrible. Is it like that over there or things seem pretty friendly over there.
There are one or two of those, I guess. But no, this one's friendly. You don't really know anyone on day one. And by the time you leave, because it's like an after party, say midnight on that Thursday, everybody's like best friends.
So. Yeah, it's like a community. They've done a really fantastic job of building a solid community there.
Yeah, hey, Rob, how did you end up in Switzerland?
How did I end up in Switzerland? So I'm an engineer by profession, studied engineering in Scotland. And part of my master's, in fact, was to write my thesis in the workplace. And I managed to get a job in Switzerland.
Wow.
With the company I work for today. And after I'd finished my thesis, they said, listen, if you're interested, there's a job here for you. Hadn't even considered it for a second. My idea was go back home and start work there or whatever. And within a week, myself and my wife both had the job, had an apartment, and yeah, we stayed, and we're here 14 years now.
14
years? Yeah, it's, I mean, from going like not planning on staying to being here 14 years and no plan on leaving anytime soon, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What a great dream, man.
Yeah. I went to visit him in October, Tom, and it's so beautiful.
Oh, gee, part of you hates him for living in such an amazing...
Oh, man. But, and he posts his pictures of his cycling around all these beautiful lakes and mountains. I'm like,
damn you.
I mean, yeah. I appreciate that as much as you do. You know what I mean? It's not to be taken for granted. It's just so stunning.
That's awesome. Whereabouts is in Switzerland, are you?
In Bern. I've been here from the beginning. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you been, Tom?
I've been to Geneva and I've been to, actually, I think that's all. I was supposed to be coming this year to, I can't remember where, but we had these two Airbnbs booked in the mountains. But obviously we're not coming anymore.
I know. All this talk of doing these podcasts, you're speaking to people from all over the world. And now with all this going on, I'm just like, oh, I want to go away.
Yeah. Right. It's because you know you can't, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Bring it up.
So, Dan.
Yeah, I'm happier than Larry. So, Mr. Tom Stewart, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Indeed. It has.
That was great. No, you guys, this is awesome. Like, really fun. So, it's so good to chat. I just love meeting people from random round the world places and chatting. And so, would love to have a beer with you both, you know.
Oh, definitely, man. I'd be well up for that. If I'd known you before my Australian trip, I would have done.
Bummer.
Yeah, like obviously, like I'll try in any, because I don't want to do any more weddings next year, Tom. Well, I've got enough, if you know what I mean.
You've got enough.
I see what you mean. I was just like, I thought you were hanging in quit. The towel. It's like,
that's it. Fuck weddings.
You know, I've got this Wedding Street podcast now. I don't need to do anything else. Sorry to
next
tell you, man.
Next, he'll be selling presets.
How would you monetize a podcast? Yeah. That's what I'm going
to
go
on. Don't think, I don't think people will pay to listen to us. Sorry to break it to you, Dan.
the pleasure is all mine, and thank you guys for chatting with me. It's been awesome, and look forward to meeting you both in person.
Indeed. Thanks.
Will happen.
Thanks a million, my man.
Thanks, Tom. That was awesome, mate.
Thanks for listening. Thank you. If you've enjoyed, please subscribe to the podcast.